You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is Tina Rusnak, the Agile coach with a disco in her basement, and you're listening to the Agile Uprising podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. I'm Paul Elia, and I'm joined here today by my friend Tina Rusnak. Tina is the founder of First Class Agile. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Paul. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And this is a treat for me. Tina and I know each other in the real world, which isn't always the case on the Agile Uprising podcast. And I've actually received some coaching from Tina Rusnak. Absolutely loved it. We're here today to talk about the topic of Agile coaching becoming a commodity. And before we get into that, I'd like to just give the listeners a chance to get to know you, Tina. Just tell a little bit about your background and what you're up to today.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. Yeah. So I have been an Agile coach for probably a little over 10 years, maybe a little bit more. I started out at Intuit, which was a fantastic experience. Had many great mentors there, lots and lots of learning. That's where I found my passion for Agile. When I really got to understand the values and principles, it was like my eyes, you know, opened wide, and, you know, it was really for me. It was just such an alignment.
So were you in Agile before, or did Agile come to Intuit and then that's where you found it and took off?
Yeah. So I have a little bit of an entrepreneurial life. I've done different things. I worked for the government for a while. I was a chef. I did some IT consulting, things like that. So I was always, you know, dipping in and out of things. But when I was at Intuit, I was a QA manager, and that's how.
Got it.
I like to say Agile found me, but yeah, I found sure. it. I found
it. But so that's your personal experience with this thing Agile. Okay.
Right? Yeah. Because okay. It was just an amazing, you know, I was kind of, you know, waiting for it. I think that there's several coaches that have had the same experience where we're just like, you know, we're just so happy that there's actually something out there that we can use as a tool and a model and a framework to actually help people, to help companies, to help teams, you know, to use that framework just to, cool. Do what we want to do, which is help people.
So you got the bug into it. What happened after Intuit? Because I met you at somewhere else.
Yeah. So after Intuit, you know, I went out on my own. I started First Class Agile. Right. And then I found myself over at ADP. And again, another, you know, fantastic, fascinating experience, mostly because of the scale. So that's what really intrigued me at ADP was the scale of it, the different products they had, all the diversity of people, the locations, you know, a global transformation. And again, met some incredible people, worked with amazing coaches. I think our total group was a little over 5,000. You know, our transformation goal was around 5,000 people. And at our high point, we had five Agile coaches to help.
Yeah, that's always amazing to me. I mean, those ratios seem to be pretty consistent with these big. And I know some people are funny about the word transformation, but let's roll with it. I'm with you. These big transformations, the ratio is incredible, like 5 to 5,000 type stuff. So what sort of support in that scenario did you have for the five of you?
Yeah, so the model that we took was to scale coaches, so inside out transformation, right? So when we work with Scrum Masters, we would have to get them up to speed pretty quickly and get them to, as much as we could and as much time as they had, to get them to become more like coaches, right?
Right.
And spend a lot of time also with the managers to help the managers, you know, with their mindset, get them more coaching skills. Because again, with, you know, five official coaches and 5,000 people, you can't do that kind of coaching. But another thing we also had was a really great community. So we had a lot of folks on the ground that were doing, you know, that were working with us to help drive things. We would have agile days and people that specialize in automation or who are looking at operations. So, you know, technically there were five coaches, and then we had the support there. And then what happened was in the different locations, they started hiring their own agile coaches locally. And so that's how our agile coaching community grew. So in Canada, we had some amazing coaches come on. In California, they also did that as well. And in Europe and Brazil. So, you know, it grew and it was really wonderful.
Fantastic. Right, yeah. right. That's awesome.
And so what I've been doing now is, and we'll get a little bit into you know, what I, you know, the reasons for why I'm at, where I'm at now. But last year, I decided to resign from ADP and go back to being out on my own. So right now I'm doing some business coaching, some one-on-one coaching, different types of coaching. I've kind of taken a little bit of a break from Agile, but it always seems to come back around. So I'm usually getting pinged from people, lots of recruiters. There's still lots of work out there. So I'm dabbling in and out of it, but you know, I got the itch. So the timing of this was perfect.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So no, let's dive in now to this concept of Agile coaching being a commodity or becoming a commodity. Now, when I was doing research for the show, I was starting to see articles as far back as 2012. You and I were talking pre-show. About the same year for you, what were you thinking?
Yeah, so for 2012, that's the year where I kind of saw, you know, again, from my perspective, that was the moment, like 2011, 2012, where if you wanted to be an Agile coach or start a company or become a consultant, that was the moment, because it, like in 2013, it really exploded into bigger companies and it started really growing. So the commodity thing for me, you know, I really saw it when I was at ADP, probably about 2 years in. So I don't know where that would leave us. Like 3 years ago is when I actually started seeing it. And again, that's just from my experience. And the thing that really brought it out for me was when working with recruiters. So, you know, we would get pinged by recruiters once in a while because our titles, so they thought we were managers. So I took advantage of that. You know, whenever one of them would call me to meet, I would always go meet with them and talk about, you know, how are they recruiting folks for Agile coaching or for Scrum Masters or for Agile positions, and found out really quickly that there was a lot of confusion about their understanding of the different Agile roles. And a lot of them admitted that they were not, you know, educated well about it. And they didn't know how to actually sell the value, right? So if you wanted to hire a really good Agile coach with a lot of experience, they didn't really know how to work the dollars with the managers. So I think that became a pretty big factor. And I actually did coach, you know, several recruiters on to help them with those conversations. But, you know, at the end of the day, they got pressure. They got to get the numbers in. You know, sure. They have bodies to show up. So that's when I really first saw it, is when I started talking with the recruiters about 3 years ago.
Okay. So you and I were also discussing pre-show kind of similar definitions of commodity, but I liked yours. Go ahead and share yours, please.
Yeah. So if you look up the definition of commodity, there's actually some really nice ones. But as an Agile coach, the way I started, you know, the one that really struck me personally was a mass-produced, unspecialized product, right? So
yeah, that's what we all aspire to be, right?
Yeah, so mass-produced, unspecialized product.
Yeah.
So, again, in aligning with the recruiters, you know, trying to help them to understand, even forget about an Agile coach, what is a coach? What's the value of a coach? You know, I had to start a lot of conversations, you know, just at that level about what does an actual coach do? What's the value they bring? And then get into the specifics and the specialization of Agile. And, you know, a lot of the times I want to talk about the process and Scrum and Kanban, and it's so much bigger than that.
Sure. You know?
And so, well, what are we going to do about HR topics? How are we going to talk about, you know, performance? What do we do with, you know, how do we get with the business? Like all these different things. And so the focus was also kind of narrow.
Yeah. So what you're saying are earmarks, and I know this from knowing you, but of a seasoned Agile coach, you're talking about HR, right? That's like one of the first things that you started speaking of when you started thinking of an agile coach instead of the process, instead of, or, you know, worse yet, agile equals scrum, right? But our recruiters, by and large, don't know that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Are institutions that are looking to go agile or, you know, and it's still happening, right? We're not done transforming the world of work. So they didn't grow up in management school with that concept. So they don't know what an agile coach is. And so how do they shop and distinguish between one person that says they're an agile coach? Like, is there, what is an agile coach, and how does a buyer, let's say a hiring company or a recruiter, know whether that's true of the person that they're looking at?
Yeah, it's such an interesting, you know, area to talk through and talk about, because it is so individual. It is something that I, you know, that I believe is really specialized. So, you know, and we can get into the whole certification thing. So I think that's been another factor,
right,
which, you know, kind of diluted the specialization of, you know, what a, and I hate to use these words, I'm, you know, language is language, but, you know, a serious agile coach versus, you know, getting on the bandwagon, or, hey, I'm bored, I want to have a new, you know, I want to do something different. You know, there is a difference between that. Or, you know, I've seen it a lot where, you know, there's downsizing or roles are changing. And so it's like, what am I going to do? Oh, let me do this. Let me try being this agile coach thing.
Right.
And depending on the person, that can absolutely work fabulously. But, you know, there's all those soft skills and coaching skills that come with it. So I think, again, to help answer some of your question, is also the education on the internal side with the managers, right? Because I even have to do sessions on explaining what the role is, even when I've been in a place. Like, I've already been in a group working with some, and they're still kind of confused about, what is your role? What do you actually do? And so the clarity of their role, even with the managers, even internally, is a little fuzzy, right? They know they need help. And then you can even get into all kinds of, you know, ego trips and politics about, you know, where's the line? You know, do we listen to the agile coach, or do I listen to the manager? So it's really fun.
It's interesting to me that we're talking about something becoming a commodity that, and the very definitions that you and I both looked up, it talks about something that basically it's an indistinguishable something you can get anywhere, but yet we don't exactly know what it is. It's not like is a commodity. Right? Or gold is a commodity. Like, I know what that is. There's a real strict definition of what that is. It's chemical. But
yeah, it really is fascinating. And I'll just tell you, like, over the last year, I've I still get lots of calls from recruiters. I love, you know, seeing what's out there and seeing what's going on, you know, with the agile coach roles. And I can't tell you how many, you know, positions I will get about, yeah, they're looking for an agile coach. I'll get on the phone. Okay, tell me a little bit more about what they're looking for. Yeah, they're looking for an agile coach who also can code. Do you know how to code and do this? And I was like, no, I'm an agile coach. Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. Or I had another one that was an agile coach product owner. We need an agile coach and a product owner. I'm like, okay, which one are you hiring for? No, it's for both. And this is the recruiter, you know, trying to get, and so one of the recruiters actually laughed and said, yeah, they're trying to save money. And I was just, it's just sad because, you know, they're going to probably find someone who will say, hey, yeah, I can do that, and then get in there, and, you know, that's not the right model. So, you know.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So we use the language of agile coaching becoming a commodity, but I don't think we're using the word properly. And I don't think that's,
I agree.
I don't think it's what we mean. And I don't think it's what's really happening. I think that people are accepting less money for being something other than an agile coach.
Oh yeah. And that's definitely true because the rates have dropped significantly for the roles. I mean, even for scrum masters, just from the research I've done, in some areas, it's either the same, it's not really going up, but mostly it's dropping. So what, like one of those roles for doing two roles, it was really low. And
let's not be Americans. Let's actually talk about the money. What kind of money are we talking about? Americans culturally don't like to talk about money. Let's talk about money.
Yeah. So that one job, that one position I just mentioned with the two roles, it was $70 an hour, which, you know, is not anything, you know, not something.
That's to the individual, not
right. It's up to the individual. So
right. So what do we get, about a 25% to 50% markup?
From
your typical, let's say, recruiting company or whatever.
Yep.
Right. So that the client is paying 110-ish, maybe more.
Yeah, and still in a lot of cases there's I don't see a lot of corp to corp anymore, which I don't know, that's just been my experience. They're mostly doing W-2, but with no benefits, of course. And even for the travel jobs now, years ago they would actually, you know, here's your rate plus we'll cover travel or a percentage of travel. Now travel's like off the table, it's all inclusive. So there was a position out in Chicago, just a short, like three or four months contract. It was, the highest they could go was 80, and it was all inclusive. So you had to pay for everything. You had to pay for your travel. You had to pay for, hotel, you had to pay for everything. And that wasn't the only one that I saw. There were other ones, in New York if you were moving there or something, that might work out. But if you just, if you're like a typical consultant, you like to travel, you want to go to different places and see different things. That's what my experience has been the last year.
That's interesting. So we've done something taboo. We've talked about some money and some numbers. That's good. We've got to stick to the Agile uprising, not being the straight laced. So,
cool.
What do you think companies sometimes are looking for when they're trying to drive that price down? You just mentioned one of them a moment ago, which is you want that hybrid Agile coach product owner, right? Or I've seen it, Scrum Master / product owner.
That's a popular one. Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, you guys just started practicing the practice of Scrum. And you ripped out a page of the Scrum guide, even. The pages stuck together at some point, and you thought it was one role that was being described. So they're trying to save money by combining the roles, but they're also driving the price down. What is it they're looking for that they would entrust the future direction of, like, a force like you had at ADP, 5,000 people? The magnification power of 5,000 people put it in the wrong hands versus put in the right hands?
Yeah.
What are they looking for when they're driving the price down versus looking for genuine, what you and I would respect as somebody who knows what they're doing in the business?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, again, the numbers, maybe what's out like in the media or things that they hear, and just the number of, again, how popular this role is and how many people out there are doing it. And then another thing would be that they don't know, right? Okay, we want to do Agile. We want to move to Scrum. So we need to get an Agile coach, but we don't have, this is how much money we have. We also need this. So I think they're trying to make an effort to transform, to make a change, or at least move the needle. But a lot of times, again, I really believe they don't know what to do. And so an example of that would be typically like an Agile manager, right? That's a big change for their role. I do a lot of coaching with the leaders and the managers to help them understand how their role shifts and what it means and the different things they need to do. And they just didn't know. It doesn't mean they're a bad manager. It doesn't mean that, they're not going to be successful. It's just that they didn't know what to do. And I think there's still a lot of that out there. Okay, we want to go Agile. Hey, recruiter, get me someone. I know they're out there. Here's what I have. Can you work this out? Can we do both of them? So that understanding of what the roles really mean and the value that they get from it, that's still missing.
So I recently suffered a traumatic loss of my car of 22 years dying on me. My beautiful 1995 Nissan Maxima.
Oh no.
And it put me in the job market with not a lot of experience buying cars, right? And so, but I read online and I'm trying to gear up for this experience that I'm about to go through again, which I haven't in 22 years. And it, the advice is always whoever gives that first number loses. But there were definitely times in this journey that I just took finding a new car where, you know, it's how much do you have to spend? And I would cave and go ahead and give a number. And it's like, well, let me walk you to a different spot in this lot, right? If that's real, then we're looking in the wrong part of the lot. But I don't know, do we do that with this agile coaching? Like, hey, you know, I need an agile coach and here's my budget that was made up from what? From comparing it to maybe project managers?
That definitely could be it.
Right. Is there a measuring stick that had the organization that's trying to map this new role to previous roles that's being used that causes that rate?
I know for sure. So for example, so it's a new role. So like at ADP, when they were bringing us on, they did have us looped in with program management, project management, you know, job grouping. Cause you know, they didn't know where to put it. And so that was totally fine. It's appropriate. But I think, you know, that might, what you're saying could definitely be true. Because again, like this year, there are also jobs like that. You know, we're looking for a program manager, and I would get a call or an email, hey, there's a great position for you. But the title's program manager. And so I call and they're like, well, no, they need an agile coach, or they have to get it under this title. So, you know, if you're an agile coach looking for a job now, you're not even going to look at that. But when I got the person on the phone, I was like, why are you saying this to me? Oh, you're an agile coach, right? I was like, yeah, this is program management. Oh yeah, but they're really, they really need some help with agile. So they need someone who could do program management and also, you know, get the agile coaching going. And it's just like,
that is one of the possible interpretations of my fellow Agile Uprisers' Twitter handle, Backdoor Agile, what you're describing there.
It's totally backdoor. The secret, it's fascinating. This whole subject, I think, is really fascinating. Because I don't know why after so many years it's been out, you know, over 20 years, right? It's been out there. The last 10 years, really popular, but there's still this kind of mystery around what does the coach do and how do we price it and how do we, you know, find the right person who's going to really help us transform. And again, that's why, you know, when I think about that definition, if I was going to hire an agile coach, I don't know if I could use that as an example because I'd be really picky. I mean, I know what I'm looking for, right? So I think it's in a lot of cases it comes down to a leader or a manager, you know, having that one-on-one conversation about, you know, the experience. Here's what I need. Have you done this before? How can you help me? And not just a checklist of, do you have a Scrum Master certification? Do you have this certification? Do you have that? Like the checklist things.
Right.
And so that was a big conversation with the recruiters because, you know, I tried to explain to them that, you know, you also want to kind of look past the certifications in a lot of cases, because like in my example, when I started doing this, there were no certifications.
Right.
There weren't any. And
oh, no. Yeah. I went to sleep on this whole business and I say went to sleep. I had my own business and there was no need to care about what people thought about my certifications. Looked up after that business, my relationship with it completed. I sold. It's like, what's going on? How did Scrum get so popular? Right?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not against anything, the certifications or the models or the awesome businesses and folks that are doing stuff out there. That's not, you know, what my intention is. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I personally, and I think a lot of agile coaches, if you're listening, you really need to consider this is, you know, the integrity around who you are and what you know and what you value and what you know you bring to the table. You know, I've seen so many people, they've spent a fortune getting all these certifications, and I know them, they didn't need it. You know, they don't need it. And, you know, you're looking on LinkedIn, I don't even know what anybody's name is anymore. Like, I don't even have any letters after my name because I'm Tina Rusnak. If you want to, you know, you can look down below if you want to know more, but
exactly
all the letter. And like, I love people learning. I'm not against any of that, but it's gotten to a point where it's ridiculous. I don't even know what any of the letters mean anymore.
So I'm going to tell on another fellow upriser, Troy Lightfoot, just on a lark. We have a Slack channel and we just joke around sometimes.
Okay.
We were pointing out somebody that had done the alphabet soup after their name and laughing. And Troy said, I wonder what would happen if I set up an account that was nothing but certs, no name.
Yeah.
And he did. And he's getting recruiter automated offers on this fake.
Yeah.
It's insane. So, but the commodity angle with certifications is, I think, especially to the recruiter that doesn't have a firsthand understanding of Agile, or the hiring manager, or the HR person that doesn't have an understanding, and they're part of the find us something. It may very well be that the CIO, who has a vision and a plan, does know what Agile is, could talk it fluently, but they're the CIO, right? They've got a million things to do besides being involved in the day-to-day to find talent. So the certifications seem to be that easy way to say, well, if you were able to get that, especially if you're able to get more than one of them, you must know it. You must be somebody that I could present.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a quick, so I was talking to, actually a coach I used to work with, the AP, he's pretty awesome. I don't know if I want to, I'll say his name. I don't know if he'll hear this, but Jason Phillips, he's awesome. He's great to work with. And we were having a catch up a few weeks ago, and I was telling him, you know, some of my experiences, and there was one role that I got a phone call for. It was awesome. It was going to be a lot of travel, going to a lot of different places, pretty challenging industry, and things were moving along. And I was thinking that I was actually going to get to try this experience, and they came back and asked me if I had my ICA Agile certification. And I said, no. And they're like, oh, they, that's a requirement. And I said, well, why is that a requirement? And they're like, well, they have it as a requirement. I was like, well, do you know what that is? Do you know why they're looking for that? They couldn't explain why.
That's interesting. And I actually love that program. Everybody I know who's been through it. I have not been through it. I've tasted samples of it, you know, through other people. And I've participated in the local Agile Coaching Exchange user group and gotten to know some things from people who are certified with that. I really like the idea of getting back to center in your coaching and you know, really applying the aspect of coaching that's needed in the moment.
Yep. Yeah. And so I agree.
That certification that certification doesn't mean you're a good coach. And not having that certification doesn't mean you're not a good coach.
I was talking with Jason, he said that he had also had a couple of experience as well. And he shared an example where there was a young person, I think he said it was like 25 or 24, I can't remember, who was in a different role, wasn't a coach, wasn't a manager, went to this thing. He's a certified Agile coach from ICA. Never was a scrum master, never coached a person in his life. So you see what I'm saying here, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the reality is, if you have the time and the money and you're a good student,
awesome.
Any of these certs that don't come with an experience requirement had.
Yeah. So it was interesting because I was working with exploring this role. I had had, you know, four different interviews. We were talking for like 2 or 3 weeks. And so that was a lot of time invested on both ends. And then to come back and say, oh, well, you don't have this, you know, it was like, well, what about all the other things I shared with you and all the stuff we talked through? So I was like, okay, maybe there's something else.
Well, let's move away from the certification angle and try to help us. I do believe a lot of our listeners at least are in this game to transform the world of work in their own way. Agile coaches, Scrum Masters, and there are others. I mean, I honestly don't consider myself an Agile coach. Practiced pre-Agile from 1993 on, and I want to see this be the way that we work for personal reasons. I don't necessarily want to be an Agile coach, but for those who are listening, where that is your role, and and you don't want to be considered a commodity, what can we recommend to people to stand out, to be able to demonstrate your value with or without the certifications? You have that ability to be an Agile coach.
Right. So, this is such an awesome, this is like another whole topic, but yeah. If as an Agile coach, the first thing I would, ask is, why? So really deep down, why are you an Agile coach? Why do you want to transform? What's really driving? Do the five why thing, right now, if you're listening, and you're an Agile coach, why did you become an Agile coach? What do you want to get out of it? What's your, where's Simon? What's your big why about being an Agile coach? And for me, it was pretty straightforward. I don't need five whys. I know why I do this. And, I think maybe the title of Agile coach has to go away. I mean, a lot of people, don't want to associate with the word Agile anymore because of all the stuff that we're talking about.
We're going to have to come back to that. That's a good one. Cause yep.
but really, so the Agile coaches that, that I've talked with over the last year or so, and even some scrum masters or project managers, that they definitely know that they want to do more, that they want to make an impact. And in a lot of the companies, there's only so far you can go, right? There's only so much you can do. Even if you are that 24-year-old person who never coached anybody and you can transform that whole place, you're going to be limited by that. So, if it's in your passion, if it's in your heart to actually, want to help people to do that, to step up and drive and be an influencer, you really need to look at and find out what is it? What's your thing, right? So what's at your center? What's at your core, right? What's your message basically? And then, try and build your practice, your coaching practice around that, have a focus. It doesn't have to be like my buddy Deirdre Livesey, my partner coach at ADP, we used to talk all the time about, you don't have to know all of it, pick one value, which Agile value really makes your hair, gives you the chills, or which Agile principle do you love, take that one thing and, become the expert at it and, write a book, get out there because, and I don't know if you guys are able to share links, but there's an amazing article on InfoQ. That where these awesome folks did research around the market for Agile coaching, right? Around the dollars and the roles and, the rise and fall and, what's going to happen with the Agile coach role. And, for me, and this is my experience, eventually, and this happened to me, you're going to find that you want to do more and that being in a corporation or being, it's going to be limiting. And then if the role's going away and things like that, what are you going to do next? I guess.
Well, are we saying that the role's going away? Because you touched on something and I'm like, ooh, I want to come back to that because I hear that more and more that we should stop using the word Agile. I hear it in DevOps, which is where more I've twisted. I mean, if I ever was considered an Agile coach, it was always more of a technical Agile coach. Mm-hmm. Dating myself, but 30-ish years since I first started writing code for money. So that's always been my angle, and DevOps was something we were doing before we had the word. But now we are questioning whether to use that label.
It's pretty sad. It's sad that, that's what's happened because it has this, the stigma around the name. And so people are dropping it. They don't want to be associated with the word. They still want to be coaches or scrum masters, or they want to have a transformation, but they're not going to call it.
You want to do the real thing that word originally was describing, but the word gets diluted. It becomes a commodity, but not really, right? It's not a commodity like gold. We have that whole, alchemy, trying to turn other things into gold.
Exactly. That's
apparently happened pre-science, and maybe some people think it can still happen. And if it can, please, I'd like to know how. That's it's not really a commodity. It's that it's becoming a diluted, a shadow of its former self, and the pursuit of this thing that we call Agile as a goal itself instead of, well, wait a minute. That was a way of working. We were still, at least in the beginning, my pre-Agile era, we were software engineers. We were producing software or systems that were supposed to provide value to people. My initial interest personally for getting into the world of Agile was I was tired of throwing away code. I was tired of putting my heart and sleepless nights into thinking about problems, only to find that the customers at the end of this long waterfall journey were unhappy. And we
they're not using what you did. So from the
exactly, from the, and how unsatisfying that is.
They're not even using it. They're not selling it.
Oh my goodness! So yeah. So I kind of found what eventually became Agile on my own. Like I know a lot of people did. It wasn't just and you know, deep respect for the 17 that have continued to work. Mike Beadle, rest in peace, continued to work and push the envelope and the word that they helped collaborate and coin in 2001. But it was happening before, and regardless of the word. So when we start talking about stop using the word Agile, what do we want to use instead? Like, let me pivot to this.
Yeah.
An executive I really love at my current company, an early meeting with him, he was asking when his crew would be, would complete their Agile journey, would complete their DevOps journey. And I don't know him very well yet. And that's a red flag for me when somebody asks it like that, yeah. Because this is a continuous improvement type of a world, right?
Yep. Well,
let me ask you this. Can you describe to me what it would look like when we completed that Agile journey, when we completed that DevOps journey? And I'm going to challenge you not to use the word Agile or DevOps in your response. And he took it. He's like, okay, cool. 3 to 5 minutes, I'd say, he described the outcomes he was looking for. And I was just like, wow, I wish I had a recorder going on that one, because now I know I can help you, because you're actually talking about some tangible outcomes, and we can use the techniques from Agile. We can use the mindset and practices of DevOps and get you those outcomes. So I think when we start talking about dropping the word Agile or dropping the word DevOps, and that's what we're after. We're after some outcomes.
Yeah. And that's, that's a big part of how I like to help, you know, drive the quote unquote transformations is, you know, you don't have to, you know, once you're, you know, in the meeting and trying to figure out what we're trying to accomplish, what do you want? I mean, the word goes away. I mean, it just goes away, right? It's like right. Exactly what you just said, like, what do you want? What do you want in 3 years, or what outcomes are you looking for? Like this year, what do you want to accomplish in 6 months? You know, that it's change management, it's planning, it's alignment, it's awareness, it's
right.
It's leadership, it's and so that again, I go back to how I started with Agile. I mean, it was just like the perfect framework to get to move into a space and help somebody actually do that and facilitate that and help with you know inspiration or motivation or giving the tools and you know all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of like the It's just such an amazing thing. I hope the word doesn't go away. I don't like not using it. so I hope that doesn't happen. But again, to go back to the Agile coaches now, you know, the research that InfoQ did, you know, the guys did for that InfoQ article, and even myself personally, when I was at ADP, I never expected there to stay. I never expected to stay there forever. You know, I wanted to bring the managers up, you know, find the folks inside who were going to keep, you know, keep Agile going, you know, get it to become part of the DNA,
right?
All that stuff. So, you know, if there were other opportunities to stay and coach in another forum, that would have been fabulous. But I know I'm not a believer in you always are going to have to need an Agile coach, because I believe that a part of an Agile coach's role is, again, to do that, like to transform the people so that they can do it by themselves, that you're going to get them the tools, you're going to show them how to do it, you're going to, you know, take them through a certain point, and then they got to take it themselves and they got to drive it. So,
right.
So when I think of it that way, and then in the bigger, you know, macrocosm, I could see where it would be going away, especially the rate of change and how fast, you know, people are learning now and how fast, you know, the tools are changing and people are really getting on board with everything. You know, I could see that, but if you are an Agile coach, and like I was saying earlier, and you really are on a mission, I really think, you know, now is the time to consider, you know, and start exploring, like, what are you going to do next? Not to say you have to quit, Nick.
Yeah, so these skills
aren't going to, right.
The demand won't go away, but talking about it, especially as this is such a foreign thing to our company, that we have to bring in somebody who knows it so well that they can help us to understand what it is and for us to find our way. At some point, we start to get to the other side of the bell curve, right?
Right.
And maybe that's more what we mean when we talk about agile coaching becoming a commodity, is maybe we're feeling that we're coming on the other side of the bell curve, or at least for what was what's being labeled as agile.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like you said, there are still industries and companies that are just starting.
Absolutely.
And their journeys are going to look much different than, well, I don't know if they'll look much. They'll probably feel different. They might feel a little different, maybe because of the talent that they have in or where they're at, or, you know, just how they're going to look at things. Because, I mean, like, as you know, a lot of this is in IT, right, in software development. And, you know, there's industries now that are looking to be, quote unquote, agile, and they don't have any code. They're not delivering code.
Right.
And so, and that's why I love, and I hope we don't get rid of the word agile and all of that, because, you know, that's enabled them to find this, you know, another way to do business. Right. So it's such a great opportunity for anybody. And, you know, when I first started doing this, I would always get the question, oh, can you do agile for anything? Is agile good for anything? Can we do it? I was like, of course you can. It's a mindset. You can apply it to anything. You can use what you want to get your outcome. And again, the processes are separate, you know, Scrum, Kanban. I don't even care, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get struck by lightning, but I don't even care if you do waterfall. You better be agile. You know, if you say you're agile, hopefully you're sticking to the values and you're sticking to your principles, you know? So I'm not sure if we came full circle on that one. So much to talk about.
Well, let's try to close with some ideas for our listeners who are looking to stand out and, you know, grow and market themselves as someone who really has something to offer. How do you not be seen as, treated as a commodity?
Yeah, so I'll go back to what I said earlier. You know, you gotta look inside yourself and see, and again, ask yourself, why are you doing this? You know, what's really at the basis of why you show up every day? Like, why do you know? And it's not easy. I mean, most agile coaches, it's hard, and we, you know, some of us drink a lot. You know, and some of us get burnt out, or some of us give up, you know, which is always sad when you just, you know, so I would say, you know, really look at what's driving you to do the work you're doing. And then, you know, what is that, you know, if you could find that one thing that really speaks to you, you know, try and become the expert in that, you know, start writing a regular blog post, start writing more on LinkedIn, you know, get your website going. You know, because, you know, the world is always changing and there's no guarantee for anything. So, you know, if you're on a mission, if Agile has caused you to find some kind of mission to drive, to help people transform the world of work, you know, community building. I've seen a couple of Agile coaches where, you know, they specialize in career development. So it's kind of like a stepping stone. You know, I think that's a good way that I look at it, you know, as you've got such a great opportunity, you're an agile coach, you've got all these great skills you have now, but, you know, but what's really driving you? What's that one message you really want to share? And then, you know, start building that, you know, be the specialist for this. I mean, you know, if a company's transforming and, you know, sometimes they're not looking for all of the fixes. Maybe they just need you to, you know, to help with this one area. And, you know, I've always been really strong with sticking, you know, with your integrity and your values. I've been asked to do some things as an agile coach that I just wouldn't do. I refuse to do it because it just went against my whole grain. So that's another, you know, word of advice I would give anybody is, you know, don't compromise, you know, your values, you know, for things. You know, we all have to make money and support our families and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to live with yourself. You got to don't get sick, because all this stuff builds resistance in our bodies and our mindset, and you'll just be miserable. So as best you can, you know, again, find what's driving you. What's your message? What are you really trying to accomplish? If you could, you know, just focus on one, you know, one specialty, one thing that you help people with and become the expert at, you know, those are some tips I would give.
Cool.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm, keep coming back. Of course, it's visually in front of me to the word commodity. And I really, and this is often the case with a podcast, at least one that I'm involved in, is that the original idea for the show had us thinking one thing, and then we go do research, and then we get to talking about it. And it's like, I don't know that I agree that it is a commodity or becoming a commodity. I think we're nibbling around the edges of the truth that the market wants to pay a lower rate, and there are people who would take a lower rate to do something associated with Agile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's becoming more prevalent. But if you have real experience and value that you can give to an organization, I want you to, as a listener, stay strong to your value and don't allow compromise, right?
Yeah.
Right. You're worth this. I mean, just the magnification power of an organization the size of what you did with ADP, 5,000 people. Those 5,000 people working on things that are more valuable and not working on things that aren't, and checking in sooner and finding out whether their customer actually likes what they're up to, and cutting all this waste.
Yeah. Oh, the number of canceled projects was amazing. I mean, one of the first, it was a global, you know, group that we were transforming, and it was going to be a tough one. I said, let's try the tough one first. And so 2 or 3 months in, the whole thing got canceled. And like my boss at the time is like, oh my God, he goes, what happened? I was like, everybody's really happy because they just stopped doing what they've always been doing for the last 10 years.
Right.
And they're not going to do the project because it was the wrong thing to do. So it can also look like that.
Absolutely. And that probably, you know, saved a tremendous amount of money. What you chose to focus on next was a better opportunity. And so, yeah, don't, my thoughts in wrapping this thing up are, don't allow yourself to accept, if just because a company's saying, I want to pay $10 an hour for an Agile coach, don't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Respect yourself, respect the value that you know you can bring to an organization that embraces Agile values and mindset.
Yeah, and do that exploration on yourself. And one of the first things I always tell people I'm working with in class or training or a workshop or whatever is that, you know, Agile will change your life. It will, in one way or another, it will. You're here. We're both here for a reason. And so now, if you're in this Agile coach place, what is the next step for you? Like, where has it really brought you to? So I would just encourage people to explore. Don't settle, because, you know, there is a path for you. There is a place where you belong. And so the more you settle, the more you're not where you belong. So that's what I would say.
So when the recruiter sends you an email for a wonderful opportunity in middle of somewhere, Iowa, $60 an hour, your own travel expenses, stay strong. There's better. You're worth more than that. So absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, listen, Tina, love talking to you. Love that we had an opportunity to record a conversation, and hope our guests found it valuable. If people want to follow up with you, learn more about First Class Agile, just follow up on the conversation, maybe learn what they can do for themselves to become better coaches, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, that's a great idea. So basically, you guys could go to my website. It's firstclassagile.com, or you can email me. It's just tinarusnak@me.com. I got the old iCloud, the old Apple email. So just tinarusnak@me.com, or just go check out my website. You can send me some questions from there again. And if you guys have ideas or, you know, thoughts about what Paul and I talked about, you know, this whole idea of commodity and what it really means, I would love to continue the conversation, because, again, it is kind of a mystery. And there's still, I think, a lot of confusion out there about what do we actually do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you, Tina. Thanks to our listening audience for tuning in to another episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe to future episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast platform of choice. We use Libsyn, hat tip to Libsyn, and we're able to broadcast to a couple of different outlets. While you're in there, do give us a review. It really helps us to increase our reach, improve the show. We do listen to your feedback. Sometimes we ignore it, but hey. And if you'd like to discuss the episode, spark up a conversation, Tina just put out an invitation. We've also got the coalition at agileuprising.com, coalition.agileuprising.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Agile Uprising. Finally, we do accept support from our listeners. I always sound like a public broadcast type of thing here, but we're not making any money here, folks. We do this out of love and passion for changing the world of work. We do have a Patreon site to help us cover our production costs. Go to patreon.com/agileuprising or see the episode show notes on agileuprising.com. So until next time, this is Agile Uprising Podcast signing out.